I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the new iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone. This is an exciting new network that will feature podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. Now please sit back and enjoy Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are thoughts and opinions only, and do not necessarily reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. You are encouraged to do the proper amount of research yourself, depending on the subject matter and your needs.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week, this is the place you go to when you want to hear personal stories that involve anything and everything out of the ordinary, from aliens to Bigfoot to near-death experiences, anything and everything in between, because if you know me, that is where I live. So I want to remind you guys to go to my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com, and tell me what it is you're experiencing. Give as much detail as you can, because I'm telling you, the more you tell, the more we can decipher. And I mean, if there's anything you've been researching, if there's a topic you want to discover more about, if you want to share what's happened to somebody else or yourself, and if you just want some insight or just to vent, because, oh my goodness, do we need to vent these things? Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened to me if I could not have vented over the years. So please do that. Or write me at HeidiHollis@gmail.com. Tell me what's on your mind. Today is going to be a fabulous show, per usual. I have Greg Sullivan, who will be joining us. He is in Japan, and he has a group that is associated with Dr. Stephen Greer's group, C-SETI, and his is J-SETI. I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation because, wow, there's so much to dive into. And, you know, one thing that I really like when it comes to C-SETI and J-SETI, they are all about pulling in the spiritual aspects of this whole phenomena involving the UFOs and aliens and all this stuff. And, you know, one of the first points that I wrote about in my book, The Secret War, is, you know, we look at our little fluffy dogs and we think, like, well, there must be a soul in there, right? There must be something more to that little stinker that comes through the room and takes my snacks off the table. There must be something there. They're a character, right? All of that just doesn't go away if they pass away, right? So many people who have lost a pet dream of them or still hear them in the home, right? If we can go that far to think of an animal having a soul, why not aliens? Why not think of aliens as having an understanding of the soul? Of course they would, and of course they would have one, right? A lot of people, when they are met with an alien being, feel as if they're able to communicate telepathically. Now, is that a technology? Or is that something that we're capable of doing? I think that there's something more to that versus just, it's just something the aliens can do. No, because we communicate back the same way. Is it forgotten knowledge? I think it is. I know I've shared here on the show how I know I have done it with people and family members, and I even have a recollection of doing it on board a ship with my own dad. Not being abducted, no, but just having that practice and knowing what part of the brain it comes from, what part to concentrate on. So I think it's something that we have in us to know. And the contact that I personally have had, the beings told me that it's not about learning new things. It's about remembering what we already know. We just forgot. This is something that humankind is capable of doing. Is that a matter of soul stuff or just biological stuff? I would say it's kind of a combo of both of them, because the part that it takes to be able to exude that knowledge and to communicate and reach out and meet with another person, it's very spiritual. Very spiritual. So I am on the fence with it being one or the other. And you know, this whole spiritual battle that people feel is coming forward, you know, we're in some crazy times right now, right? We feel like, oh boy, we're at war. Not us in particular, but in Europe. And there's this static in the air, of course, over coronavirus and COVID and what it's doing to people and how it's getting all of our sickness and illnesses that people feel they're probably supposed to get in 30 years. It's being activated when they get COVID. And we see a lot of negative stuff going around. So we're like, ah, must be the end of the world, right? Must be it. So if that's the case, then we really, really have to start paying more attention to our souls, right? I would say so. And one thing that Greg Sullivan, I interviewed him already, and he's going to be coming up after the break, and he mentions Fukushima and how people really got interested in these topics and looked to spirituality and things of the soul more. And does it really always have to take something tragic to get people to wake up? I know when people lose someone, all of a sudden they're going to church, like they're just getting holy with everything. And, you know, because they want to say hello to their past loved one. Or if they get sick, suddenly they're trying to figure out these matters of the soul and things that they've ignored and neglected for such a long time. And that's a shame. I think we have to look at our spirituality, our soul, and all of the above, anything that's kind of us reaching out to the next person. We have to exercise that muscle in order to keep it strong, right? If you just let it sit there and get flappy and floppy, and it's not as easy to resurrect. So it's nice to know these things as we go along in life. And when we look to things like outside of our solar system or in our oceans, right? We see a lot of UFOs going in and out of the oceans. They might have been there all along. And just like if you talk to a really good psychic, where do they say these loved ones are? Where do they say they cross over to? Right here on the planet, just in another dimension. But they see these people surrounding us. They're here, hanging out, checking on us. I lost my mom a very long time ago. I was very young. And I'll never forget that feeling of being told, well, your mom's been there all along. She's right there. And I'm like, really? And then to be told such specific elements about my mother. Okay, I'm a believer. I believe she's right here. And she's been here this whole time. And it's really cool and really warming and welcoming. Now, if they're right there, and I know that alien beings are able to walk right through the wall, whether it's technology or something that they're able to manipulate spiritually, I don't know. But what does matter is I think they're able to connect with those souls and with our souls. And so often people say, you know, while I was being abducted, these beings were leaning in and like seeing how I would react to a horrible scenario. And I felt they were just absorbing and kind of feeding off from it. So there's more negative beings that do that. And then there are those ones that try to get you to realize your strength and the human potential is a lot bigger than what you think. Absolutely important to remember that there is a conflict. There is a different type of being who don't have your best interests, and then there's most that are okay with us, right? Want to see us grow. They don't want us to destroy this planet. They want us to learn to respect ourselves and each other, and to know if we mess with this planet too much, it reverberates all throughout the galaxy. So we've got to be aware and conscious of this and never forget what we are capable of. I always say we're very, very old. The human is very old. And, you know, I keep trying to find the right number of how old exactly we are. It's somewhere between 1.5 million to 500,000 years. I don't know. There's just so much conflicting information out there. But all I know is we're very old. So we have a lot of things within us that we are capable of. And I always talk about the wizards, the people who we trusted to help us to define the human condition and what we experience when we have dreams. I mean, the Bible is written on dreams, and it was taken seriously then. But then we asked somebody else, hey, put this through your filter. You tell me if that was real or not. So, and those people are like, no, you're no better than I am. So there's no way that your dream was better than anything I'm capable of doing. And so we got to think like, well, let's have a study of this, you know, let's call it this or that, and we'll get an expert in it, and they'll go and shame anybody, absolutely shame anybody who feels this is a real phenomenon. We're going to give you some medications to stop that from happening, and we'll give you a title, so you go into that category over there. You guys feel me? So we were taught to ignore who we are and what we're capable of. And yeah, there's some people that, of course, there's people who have illnesses. I know that. And it's important to know that there are some remedies out there. And venting, talking to somebody is helpful, of course. I'm not going to say it's not, because that would just be silly. And we all have to find where we fit in. We all have to find the answers that suit us. Nobody has all the answers. Not me, not you, not anybody. So I want it to just be known that we do have other answers that are not always defined within the lines. And we have to be okay with where we find ourselves and to trust ourselves when we are opening up and realizing there's more to the stars over our heads. Because the wizards are aware, but they just don't want to share that knowledge. And that is a shame. And it is really slowing down our evolution. That's got to change. It has to change. Or just don't advertise it and keep it within yourself and those close to you. And guess what? And everybody does that. We all grow together. It's a really cool thing. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation I'm going to be having here with Greg Sullivan, who will be coming up here next. And don't forget, go to HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com and tell me what's on your mind out there. Tell me what you're experiencing. Tell me what topic you want me to talk about. I will dive on in and just give my honest opinion. I'm not a guru. I'm a person that's just experienced a lot of things and do my best to try to help other people. All right, you guys, we're going to get to our first break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back with Greg Sullivan.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. As promised, my fabulous guest is Greg Sullivan, Jay Setti director. He is a researcher, author, experiencer, and musician who has been generating a vast array of ET contact resources from Japan for 11 years. Through several hundred guided ET contact retreats, he has done an extensive study of Japan's spiritual elements, those both known and unknown to the West. Overcoming the language barrier, Greg carries out all his work in fluent Japanese, interfacing with many publishers and media outlets, including nationwide television programs. With a growing community of tens of thousands around Japan and overseas, Jay Setti is helping to expand the Japanese spiritual potential for the modern cosmic age. Currently, with side project ETSPI, Extraterrestrial Spirituality, he helps clients in the Starseed and Indigo community to come into full awareness of their hidden potentials and overcome many of the sometimes inflexible boundaries placed on them by Japanese society. This ascension work incorporates advanced healing and working with ET guides for light body and full body consciousness activations. Greg has also released his first-length music album in 10 years under the name Escalade. So everybody, I'd like to give a warm welcome to Greg Sullivan, and be sure to go to jsetti.org.
Hi, hi, nice to meet you today. Thanks, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, surviving. Yeah, oh my gosh. So, you know, I'm curious. I have got to get some background on why you went into the field that you have.
Believe it or not, you know, we've had 11 years active here as Jay Setti and all over Japan. And one of my first ever sparks of inspiration was Coast to Coast AM. You know, I'm a child of Coast. And when I was growing up in upstate New York, we used to play around and set the alarm just like I did for your show here, set the alarm at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. just to get up and see what it was like at that hour of the day. And when the alarm would go off, you know, it was a radio alarm. So just by default or just by serendipity, the dial was set to coast. And I remember hearing, being kind of transfixed by the early guests way back in the 80s there. I think probably Whitley Strieber and, you know, when the Communion book came out, and hearing about ETs and, you know, UFOs and contact and everything like that. Yeah. And then fast forward, in the earliest days of YouTube, when I was in Japan, in the first few years of being in Japan, I found an amazing channel. I don't know if you're aware of it. It was called the Deuter Einoch. I don't know how to pronounce it, but this guy had an enormous archive of old coast shows. So I was just devouring, you know, like six hours a day. So that was really an education for me. So yeah. Thank you guys for all you've done over the years.
Oh, no, and I appreciate it. Yeah, but it's kind of cool to be part of a network that really launched the whole intrigue into the more mysterious phenomena. So it's quite an honor. So I love hearing these stories. So thanks for sharing that.
My pleasure. Through all those, that card of, I almost look at it almost as like a data dump, you know, from the universe now, to be able to have the access to that, you know, cause in real listening in real time, you kind of had to tune into the guest you wanted to, but so we didn't have that luxury back in when I was in elementary school in the 80s, but with the technology, then, you know, you have this kind of, what was literally almost like an on-demand, like the podcast here. Through all that, I heard about the so-called UFO ranch in Mount Adams, Washington, and just a few months later, I was over there back visiting for a wedding from Japan to the Pacific Northwest, and was able to have an actual direct experience at this facility, where I was kind of exposed to a lot of just direct contact, and just it blew the doors open to my entire research project here now.
That's amazing. Can you share what happened?
It was what they call like a sky watch, the East SETI ranch there, and it's called Trout Lake, Washington. And I was had been a very loved astronomy and looking at the stars and shooting stars and satellites up until as I was a child there. But then at this UFO ranch, you know, it's the experience we had was so much different, and experienced lights, mysterious lights from the side of the mountain, ships even responding to thought and responding to our conversation on the ground. So it was a completely interactive experience. I was definitely half interested and half kind of anxious when I first approached my Skywatch there, but it turned out to be an extremely spiritually stimulating and awakening, a deep awakening of what was to come here in the future days back in Japan. Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's always cool for me to hear these backstories, because it's like, this is driven on passion more than anything when people go into these fields. So hearing how that you got to this point, it absolutely makes sense. And you've been part of JSETI now as the director, you said, for 11 years?
Yeah, it's hard to believe now. Yeah, it's really kind of become my life work. And I was here in Japan for 5 years as sort of what turned out to be laying the groundwork of my kind of social, learning the language on the fly. And I ended up actually going back to the U.S. without ever planning to live here again. My guidance, my sort of soul program, I think what you might actually call that first contact experience was actually more of a starseed awakening. You know, you've probably heard of the Indigo Children and starseeds and whatnot. So it was scripted into my sort of timeline, scripted into my soul journey before birth. I could say that for sure. So then suddenly within just a year and a half, I have been working in New York and having continued contact experiences and going even deeper into this world and learning a lot very rapidly. And then that ended up all being the base for my ability to teach this, you know, to others. So, and to share the experience. So for some reason, I kept thinking to myself, well, man, I got to share this. You know, I was living in Japan when this first happened. And, you know, I had this burning desire to share with the Japanese people, this really strange, sense of purpose, mission. So then suddenly my life pulled this huge 180 U-turn, and I ended up going back to live in Japan. And then just about a year later, 3/11, you know, Fukushima hit. And that's when that was the kind of sounded the alarm in the spiritual community, or was the kind of wake up call for a lot of people to get active, you know, active in their lecture or writing books, lecture circuit, et cetera, like that. So we went from, you know, what was just going to be kind of a side project or something out of to do on the weekends, went completely full time, and my career as a professional spiritual counselor and author here began in earnest. Yeah,
that's amazing. And I hear you made a distinction. You say contact experiences you've had. You have had none that have resembled anything to being an abduction?
Believe it or not, no. Yeah, so I had a very organic, you know, road through this. Of course, back in the 80s, the sort of abduction scenario was quite prevalent. So I definitely, looking back now, I had, you know, kind of non-physical encounters with different types of beings, of all sorts of vibratory essence and whatnot. But yeah, the contact we focus on is a really kind of a higher dimensional spiritual contact. So that involves remote viewing or obviously the sightings of these ships. So inducing contact as a form of you know, higher dimensional, interdimensional communication. So I learned a protocol called the CE5 contact, CE5 technique, and I brought that to Japan in 2010 here as well. So all through that sort of brings with it an amazing field of protection. And I quickly started to learn the difference between, you know, the different levels of dimension and the different beings interacting there. So that was it's been an amazing journey all along. Yeah.
And since you have done the CE5s, you've had other experiences outside of you seeking that kind of interaction?
Sure. Yeah. That brings with it, you know, when the ships come in, it brings it opens up the dimensional doorway. So that if you think about Japan, actually is 80% mountainous. So being in Japan here, they're very aware of the kind of spirit world. So as these higher dimensional beings, kind of five, fifth dimension and beyond, go down and come down, bring their vibration down to materialize or materialize phenomena in that we can perceive in the five senses, they pass through the sort of the fourth dimension, the astral spectrum as well. So, you know, we experience the gamut of nature spirits, orbs, things appearing in video and photos, ancestral spirits, loved ones. So yeah, all the stuff that comes with psychic mediumship and all that stuff, I kind of got thrown into the deep end you know, I call it, like, you know, the world of the unseen, you know, learning what oranges are oranges, you know, this phenomena is apple and an apple, this phenomena is grapes, this phenomena is a watermelon, you know, things like that.
No, I get it. Well, 80% mountainous. I'm just thinking about brakes. I hope everybody has great brakes over there in their car.
Yeah.
My goodness.
What I meant to say was that the usable land is recycled. So when you're actually, you know, the amount of people and energy that's been kind of in a certain place, like when they rebuild or reuse land there, you know, they do a ritual, a Shinto or a Buddhist ritual to clear the land of any unseen and unwanted energy there. So what I meant to say was that the world of spirit is very common and close to home here, just because there's been so many hundreds and hundreds of years of people using the same places.
Right.
So yeah, we had some amazing encounters with, you know, okay, you know, beings that would be called spiritual or, you know, just ghosts.
Right, right.
As versus the high technology. So I think what was amazing for me is that I had the I took the express elevator to the top floor to the penthouse energetically. So once you learn,
I gotcha. We got to get over to our first break here. Mm-hmm. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff.
In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'm speaking to Greg Sullivan from J-Study in Japan, and an interesting thing that you just mentioned has me thinking, because I've had so many ghost hunters come on the show, and they're just like, you know, hauntings are everywhere. You can't get rid of a ghost, but ghosts are everywhere, you know? And I'm like, you know, that kind of makes sense. But here's this process that you're talking about that they do in Japan, because they know the land has been reused and reused, and they go and they spiritually and energetically cleanse it. That is very smart, very wise. And I wish we had that kind of practice here, because New England, I swear, there's so many people who report hauntings in their homes, because that's like the old, how can I say, the oldest settlements have occurred there. And I always hear of the worst hauntings being on the East Coast. So maybe this should be something that should be shared here in the United States.
Yeah. I'm from Connecticut originally. And actually I had, I met another Sullivan, believe it or not, in the Northeast on a trip home to the US a few years ago. And their home was amongst an old leper colony in a part, you know, and they had a paranormal investigator team from that state record and actually get some audio evidence. So the whole dimensional spectrum is is there. And then, you know, the ability to heal the land and to kind of raise up, you know, lost and kind of disgruntled spirits is, it comes with the, it's a trick of the trade. So I was, we're out at night, especially, you know, doing this field work and contact work. So I think it, no matter, depending on how you feel about the person, if you hold those kind of fears, you'll attract that kind of energy. So I became, like I said, I took the elevator to the penthouse energetically, whereas this, I had this unwavering sense of protection and the sort of extra dimensional and really cosmic energy of the ET craft and these UFOs put off. And that becomes like a guiding light. And so anything that doesn't match that vibrationally, you just know that, well, I don't need to really dig into this, or maybe I just need to kind of do a spiritual healing and or clearing and release that, you know. So the ships actually are able to become like a vacuum. And we do a lot of I do a lot of, you know, clearing remotely now for people using like a spiritual vortex, and the ships and the beings will come in and they just vacuum up the whole, you know, they vacuum up anything, you know, thought forms and disincarnates and everything like that. So yeah, it's not scary at all.
So you're directing craft to help in the process of clearing land.
Yep.
Wow. Now that's something that you don't hear of every day there, Greg.
Yeah.
So how do people take this topic when you talk about it? I mean, because so often UFOs are just seen as a ship, scientific data, you know, looking for that kind of proof that they exist. And then there's the spiritual aspect. Well, that's in church, that's in a temple, you know, and here you're combining the two to be considered as something to look at as whole. And trust me, I get that. And it's something I've talked about for a long time about this. These beings have spirits just like we do. And we have to realize that we could meet those spirits and we can have these exchanges. So, but how do you take that when people approach you like, this is nuts? You know, where are you going with this?
Well, I think the biggest, yeah, it's a great question. I think the biggest thing there is that the unique role that the ETs and the craft they come in, the light ships and phenomena they're able to induce is it's not just sixth sense. It's they can come down and be visible as a craft. So the fact that we have this, the world of the unseen becomes visible, and we have this actual evidence, the video evidence and the group experience. We normally on our retreats, we have anywhere from 15 to 50 people. And we've had just any, you know, tons and tons of repeated, you know, contact in same place, same people, different places, different people, every type of variation you can imagine. So that sort of repeatability and the actual physical experience in the five sense reality, it sort of validates a lot of the other unseen bits. So up until now, that piece has been really hard to access, but thanks to, you know, the CE5 protocols, and that's really exploding all over the world now. So that's sort of like the new, it's sort of like a next generation spiritual, I like to call it, next generation spirituality.
Yeah, that's interesting. What is it that you're really aiming for when you reach out to these various beings?
Great question. It is a new, it's like a new kind of communication between civilizations. You know, we have the galactic roots. If you look at, I'm also quite involved with this ascension type of information, whereas you know, we learned that, you know, a lot of these groups have been interacting with the Earth for millennia. So, and they're actually not too far away from our own solar system. They've had interaction with the Earth since even before the creation of humanity at times. So I think right now it's we're trying to get out of this sort of dark eon. And you know, as we speak, you know, there's aggression in Eastern Europe, and we're sort of hitting the limit of all of our systems, economic, political, medical, etc. So we're in the midst of this quantum shift. So I think they're really facilitating the awakening of humanity and the regeneration of the Earth and everything. So it's a part of this amazing process. You know, there's been a lot of stigma against that as through the years in the UFO subculture, but I think the fact that normal people are experiencing this more and more as we're heading towards that ultimate disclosure event, or, you know, open contact event that people like to talk about.
Yeah. And so when you're saying ascension, are you literally talking about us being raised up or our consciousness being raised up?
Yeah, I think, well, in this physical dimension, yeah. So, I mean, a cosmic shift of that proportion is almost imperceptible. But you know, we're going towards the, you know, the new Earth, the 5D Earth, and there's a lot of theories about that. But I think, you know, the fact that contact and the fact that we're not alone in the cosmos is such a huge key to that. So, as the Earth makes her transition and raises vibration, our planetary consciousness as part of the Earth here, cells of the Earth, you know, we shift organically with her. So it is a spiritual awakening. It's also an alchemical process. So, you know, we have the light body awakening and a lot of esoteric spiritual knowledge coming online. And I think the species of humanity will be, you know, in the next 100 years or so, or maybe less, becoming an entirely new, new species.
And this is something that has been essentially downloaded to you and others, that this is something the beings are going to see us through?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was the original mission. It was the original plan of the Earth. And then, you know, there was a sort of like a timeline hijack. I think if you look at the work of other classic figures through the years, that there's this sort of talk of you know, the different agendas at play and the things that went wrong, you know, the genetic manipulation and all that stuff. So I think it's a course correction as in a way as well. You know, the it gets really deep really quickly. So we go from just lights in the sky, and then once you go beyond that, you start to connect the dots to see you know, kind of what groups are doing what, and, you know, this sort of what route is in the best interest of humanity, and which ideas are not, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, no, trust me. On this show, we talk about that type of thing, because the first book I wrote in college touched on the vibrational shift and this taking up of people and their physical bodies changing, going on board ships, literally. And it sounds like it's so out there, but it is something that I was told and explained, and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to be painfully honest about it and, you know, hope people catch it. So I feel you, Greg.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's actually physics, you know, the interdimensional physics. So the light body awakening and all that DNA activation is actually just a necessary step in order to make these vibrational jumps. So, yeah. You know, whether it be a Stargate or to actually be on a ship and things like that, you know, we need the it's a sequence of steps that you must, everyone has to go through personally. So I think that's accelerating so quickly. And in Japan here, we've had, you know, I've seen a few waves through the years of the actual consciousness expansion that we're taking part in facilitating here. So, you know, people who would come to events and then sort of graduate and come back a few years later, we're almost, you know, totally different in a good way, totally different people. And then now during the past couple of years of the global pandemic here, we've had, believe it or not, YouTube was quite, things like podcasts and YouTube were quite not the norm yet in Japan. They were behind the curve on that, but it really exploded. So our YouTube went from a few thousand subscribers to 30,000 plus in the course of a month or two. So the amount of people and the need for this support, we call it like Starseed support, or I have a program called Starseed Survival that I put together to give people the basics, sort of like to not get knocked around on Earth as much as they had in the past.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, no, this is cool to be able to talk to someone as far away as you are, aiming for enlightenment and bringing everybody together on a world scale. I mean, because this is something that affects us all. And if we have a similar interest in these topics, it's definitely wise to, keep the communication open like this. So this is, I could say you're my first interview in Japan. So this is pretty cool. So, right, guys, we're going to get to our next break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I have Greg Sullivan coming to us from Japan. And, something you mentioned in the last segment, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. Do you feel that there's a conflict in alien contact out there, like the different types of factions you mentioned?
I think there's a lot of misconception, of course, and it takes it took several years to kind of get used to the different types of beings and guides out there. And I definitely think that, there's been a lot of kind of military interference and man-made things, like the whole Disclosure Project was so amazing in revealing a lot of the man-made kind of Wizard of Oz. The man behind the curtain wasn't alien at all, wasn't ET at all, so we've definitely encountered a lot of kind of, interference or things like that as well. And there's been quite a heavily control on the media here, especially TV. So it's been a cat and mouse game as far as that. In our community, we do have a lot of people who have experienced, you know, whether it be psychic attack or spiritual ailments of all different sorts. And in Asia here, there's a history of sort of Asian voodoo as well. So I got the School of Hard Knocks in the beginning. I was really, really thrown into the deep end with people coming to our events were actually quite a bit more knowledgeable than me at times. And so I had to learn, the self-mastery practices and the sort of protection and psychic self-defense.
Interesting. So you do feel there are beings that could and maybe are already that are negative and don't have our best interests, but then there are the majority who do. Is that how you feel?
Yeah. I think it is a minority, but we definitely have experienced really at times what you might call a negative low level contact. I think you might call it. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's scary how, you know, people seem to have been targeted from a very young age and actually severing those bonds is one of my specialties. So I'm sort of a light warrior it was slow at first, but, you know, I had an experience where one guy, American living in Japan as well, came to our film screening we did, and he came 2 years in a row. And that, the first time he was quite shy and reserved and asked me, you know, I hear you do some of this clearing work or your friend can do this. Can you help me out? And I was busy with the event, and we kind of just exchanged emails. And then the next year he came, or 6 months later, he came again and he said, you know, I really need you to send me, you know, some help or some links or something. And then I sent him, like, the second I sent the email to him, I had this, like, it was like a thunder strike in my room. And man, this, you know, whatever it was that was attached to him was really against this sort of, you know, my, it kind of transferred into my field. So I had to sit there for about a half an hour and kind of battle with this sort of, you know, whatever it was, a demonic energy definitely. Yeah. It's there are those energies out there for sure.
I
don't doubt about it. Yeah.
And to use the words demons and or aliens, it's all the same to me. It's like, if it's bad, it's bad, you know, it's like, but the energy feels the same. And when you say low energy beings, I mean, the abductions that I hear of, they don't sound pleasant. It sounds pretty low level to me, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're it ends up blocking the spiritual awakening. And, you'll hear about people who planned to come to a spiritual session, but suddenly changed course. Or some people tell us, you know, I was trying to get here and there was a train accident and then I got out of the train and then there was I got into a taxi and there was a car swerved and cut us off. And, you know, this trying to stop them to get to the counseling session or the clearing session.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, tell us a little bit about how you ended up there, an American in Japan, working on this in particular. You did go over it a little bit, but I know there's more that you wanted to share on that.
Yeah, you know, it is. So that's interesting. Like, my kind of sole mission here, being sort of like a PR salesman for the ET guides out there, is part of it is my looks and how I stand out. I'm 6 feet five here, so I do stand out quite a bit as a billboard here. But but mysteriously, I kind of picked up the language, just like now understand it to be past life kind of experience. And I was in Japan at least three times, and I've met several of my kind of soul family from those past lives here. I actually just reconnected with a healer here last weekend who was one of the first people who looked at me and said, you know, you're just like my friend Max, who's British, and you guys were here as samurai or ancient Japanese in previous eras, and she says, I see your chomage, which is the black hair, the ponytail.
Yeah.
And she told me, you're here for some sort of, you know, you're kind of here almost, she heard the words revenge. Or what it turned out to be is that part of my soul package was a samurai who was in one of the most famous battles in all of Japan, where the guy lost, but it turns out that it was a trap where it was literally almost 20-1. And so he was one of the strongest samurais in Japanese history.
It's amazing.
So, Yeah. So when I went to that island where the battle happened, there was a TV crew that passed. They were coming back on the ferry the other way. And it turned out that it was the 400th anniversary of the battle to the day when I went to the island.
Just
uncanny. Yeah. Experience.
Wow. Like, you know, I had someone on the show not too long ago who specialized in reincarnation. And he said that more often than not, people are reincarnated back to the same place that they were at. And I see now where if you did not, you are pulled to go back to that land. So I see why that happens. Fascinating.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah. So through a couple of different psychics saying the same thing, I was able to piece that together. So because in that lifetime, I was kind of karmically, I had a karmic stock. So I had a karmic balance. So the life work I have here in Japan, sharing this amazing ET contact to all sorts of beautiful people here in Japan now is sort of a payback to the kind of injustice that occurred at that, you know, how I was ambushed and stuff at the end of that lifetime.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. So tell us a little bit about some of the books that you've written. What do you have out there?
Yeah, I have. Thank you. I'm working on my sixth one right now. I have a series. The first couple were discussion books, and I actually also brought this information about disclosure and disclosure project here, Dr. Stephen Greer. So at first I was involved in kind of translating and introducing a lot of these sort of more you know, niche topics to the Japanese public. Some of them had been boycotted and banned as like a public, sort of like a media filter. So we were the first ones to get the word out about chemtrails and things like that back in the early 2000s. And then recently with my Ascension books, Hologram Mind, we're actually working on, I did the second one, Hologram Mind Volume 2 last year. And it covers a lot of these more advanced Ascension topics like the planetary ascension symptoms that people go through. And I'm working on the third one right now, which is going to be a full color exercise book. So that involves some of the kind of shielding techniques and affirmations and kind of image training exercises that we do. Yeah. So, and then another one I'm working on right now with one of the publishers I work with quite a bit here, it's going to be about contacting your own ET family or star family. So really a lot of hands-on and you know, process-oriented, you know, protocols there as far as a kind of raising your vibration and breaking through this dimensional barrier to the cosmic unseen.
Oh, that's great. And you're getting these translated eventually, so everybody can have a look at those as well.
Yes. When I was home a couple of years ago, I started work on, I recorded about 12 videos, 30 minutes each, and how all that transcribes. So I am in the process of editing my English book as well. Yeah.
Awesome. So how can people, so you encourage people to reach out to you if they've mm-hmm. had experiences or if they want to get cleared, and you know, how can they reach out to you? How can they contact you?
Yeah, we have a website, ce5japan.com, and I have Facebook and Instagram under Jay Seti. Anyone can mail. So yeah, I'll have a more, you know, I'm quite strong on online courses as well. So we've been trying to get the Starseed Survival and what I call Incension program translated as well. So yeah, the website might be the best way, ce5japan.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do it again. Thank you.
Wow, fascinating stuff. You know, I have a special announcement to make. I recently was on Ancient Aliens. It will have aired by the time that this episode airs, but I haven't seen it yet myself. I was really fortunate to have the chance to introduce the topic of shadow people, the entire topic to Ancient Aliens. So I'm curious how far it goes in really stressing that point. As I say on this show many a times, you know, check the copyright. People wonder, well, I don't know, somebody spoke of shadow people before you. Check the copyright on the book. I wrote that thing in 97. And so I introduced this whole topic out there that coincidentally made it more mainstream. But ultimately, people have been seeing these things throughout time. And I just... I'm really curious how Ancient Aliens is going to address the topic after I brought it to their attention that shadow people are real. This is something that's out there, and it's actually related to the alien phenomenon. And I'm really anxious to see it myself, but you guys will have had the chance to see it by the time this episode airs right here on my show. But so hopefully, fingers crossed, the program presents it as such, and people get to see the real me actually dishing fully on a topic that I presented out there, to at least give me a little props for having done such a thing. You know what I mean? After so many years of having all of my material spliced and diced into other people's books and movies, it just got a little bit disheartening just because it seemed to be more legit because a guy did it. I don't know. I mean, I had television executives tell me, you know a lot of stuff, but can you teach a guy how to do that? Because we can't have a woman lead. Yeah, that's, I'm not telling you guys a joke. That's for real. So yeah, it's been a long haul. So I am excited, and I hope you guys tune in and tell me what you think of the program. All right, I want to remind you guys to go to HeidiHollis.com. Tell me what it is you guys are experiencing out there. And write me. You have been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.